May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Could I begin by making a confession here? And the confession is that all I know about fishing can be written at the back of a postage stamp. And you still have a space for my name, my full name. during the summer holidays, as we were in the ferry traveling to Aran, and right at the middle of the sea, and it was just amazing to see boats, fishermen, who were very busy doing what they were doing. And thinking about this passage, you could not just but imagine the kind of efforts that fishermen put in and how some of them could stay sleepless all night doing what they want to do. And perhaps for people who fish, there's one thing that could be common, and it is the fact that they hardly give up. They wouldn't want to return home empty-handed without a story of exploit. And so they will always want to come home with a story. Oh, I caught some fishes today. I caught it. I made it today. In today's story, the people were crowded around Jesus by lake of the Sea of Galilee. And as Jesus preached and taught the word of God, the light of God shined in dark places. And you remember the prophecy of Isaiah. The people who lived in darkness have seen a great light. So the story that was read to us is not just about the great catch. But in this story, we see that it wasn't just the fish, but it was also Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, James and John that were caught. So the story is more than just the fish. It has to do with these individuals. Jesus got into Peter's boat and told him to go out into the deep water and lower his nets. Go into the deep water, not the shallow water. But you know, what is important here was that it was Jesus who was saying, go into the deep, the deeper water. And if Jesus says, go from the shallow to a deeper place, then you can be sure. Last year's summer, I'm not very good with swimming, but I really wanted to give it a go. And so we went to a swimming pool in Edinburgh. And for some reasons, I didn't want, the children are not here, I didn't want them to know that I was scared of the pool. So I decided to take Joshua to the shallow place where I could just stand. So as I stood there, I was very safe and secured. But Joshua wouldn't want to stay there. He wanted to go to the deeper place. And I was like, oh my God, what is all of this? But anyway, I was the daddy and I needed to act like a dad. So I had to take him to the deeper side. And before we got in there, of course, there were live swimming, you know, support I could use. And there were staff around. I made sure there were staff around in case something went amiss. So I went into the deeper side. I could only do that because I felt secured that there were friends who were in the pool. That if anything went wrong, they were going to come to my aid. You know, so Jesus said to Peter, go into the deeper side. Launch your net in the deeper side. Peter said, Lord, we have done this all night. We know when best to catch fish. We have tried it. We have sweated profusely, and nothing has happened. But because you have said it, I will obey. And so Peter obeyed, cast his net inside the deep side, and amazingly, he caught so many fish that his net began to break and he had to call his friends to come to their aid. When Peter saw what had happened, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." You could also see the same kind of phrase used by Isaiah. Isaiah had the same reaction when he saw the throne of God and the angels flying all around. He said, "Woe to me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among men of unclean lips." Now, God did not leave him in that poor state. But what God did was that he purified the lips of Isaiah so he could speak the secret of God's word. In the case of Peter, Jesus said to him, in fact, Jesus did not cast him away or bypass, walk past him and say, "Look, I don't care." But Jesus knew the strength of Peter, strength that Peter never knew of. Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid. Do not fear. From now on, you will catch men." In the past centuries, the fishing has gone on. People have continued to come to God through the preaching of the word of Christ. How Jesus died to remove our sins, to reconcile us to God. That preaching has continued. And that is why we have St. John's today. And that is why my family and I are here. Because of this preaching of the word over the centuries. Some people preach the word at the expense of their lives. They were ready to die in the first, second, third centuries. Some of them were burnt alive. Some of them were thrown inside the lion's den. Some of them were fried, Ignatius, and some of them were put inside a hot, oil, and they were just roasted. They were just fried alive. And looking back to Nigeria and some of these African, Asian countries, you go there and you see the graves of so many who sacrificed their lives for the sake of the gospel. So this preaching has continued. So like Peter, we fish for men and women when we invite others to hear the word of God among us. We teach our children who teach their children's children. We guide a teenager who strengthen the family. And remember, next year is Scottish Year for the young people. And so as a congregation, we have to be intentional in terms of our ministry to young people. We strengthen family, we comfort the sick, and those who mourn the death of loved ones, we reach out to them. We don't leave them in their poor situations. We reach out to them with the gospel of God's love. As read in Acts, one would have thought that such persecution of the church that was newly founded would have brought about a setback in its influence. Beginning at Jerusalem, there were threats, they were beaten, some of them were arrested, and some of them were even murdered, beginning with Stephen. Stephen was stoned to death for his faith in Jesus. In high places, it was decided to exterminate the new faith. But they never realized that even in a higher place, which is ruled by God Almighty, there was this decree that such extermination would never take place. And so, God's people were scattered all over the place. They lost their homes, they lost their property, but they never lost their faith. And I think this is really important. They lost everything, but they never lost their faith. Their faith was intact. Even though they were not in their comfort zones, but their faith was entered. And perhaps that is something to think about as individuals. What happens to our faith when we face difficulties, when we are confronted with issues of life? Where lies our faith? In the midst of their difficulties, as they went out and they were scattered abroad, they went on to preach the gospel message. They did not give up on God because God had not given up on them and he was not going to give up on them. They went on to preach the gospel message of God's love. The Bible says that God comforts us in our affliction so that with the same comfort, we'll be able to comfort others who are afflicted. They had the courage, the strength to speak of God's love, even in the midst of their difficulties. In fact, it was in Antioch that the Christians, that the people of God were first called Christians. Just a handful of people were turning the city upside down. They were making huge impact despite the fact that they had lost everything they could call their own. Jesus is mostly interested in our obedience, in our willingness to follow him. Catching souls for Jesus is not only the work of Peter and Paul. It's not limited to that time. All of us are called to share in this ministry. We participate in this ministry by hearing God's word, by being a part of a congregation, by bringing our families, by the sacrifices we make each week in order to bring an offering out of the thankfulness in our hearts to God. And most importantly, we continue in the fishing for men and women by our witness to the word of God. Our witness telling out the story, as we'll sing later, tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Telling out the story, the love of God to our friends. Sharing our own personal life journey. A woman once said that, look, I don't know how to read the Bible. I can't even understand the Bible. But I know that God loves me. And that is enough message to our world. Not necessarily preaching it as if you are preaching from the pulpit, but just sharing your own personal encounter, your own life journey of faith, the way God has met you at different points in your life, the times when it appeared as though the end had come, and suddenly there was this light that came out of darkness into your life, the kind of joy you experience in your life, despite the difficulties you experience, they are all enough messages to speak to our world. You could even say to a friend, is there something I can ask of God for you? Is there something I can pray about for you? We may think that our career, our family, our enjoyment of life is the most important thing in our life's journey. As important as these are, the work of God, fishing for men and women, is the ultimate reason why God has kept us in this place. And that is the only way we can have continuity in our congregation, when we are able to reach out to others, because we are the hand, we are the eyes, we are the nose, we are the head, we are the legs of Jesus. When we are able to speak about the goodness of the Lord to our children, to families, to friends, living out visible witness in our community, that's the only way we can continue to have the great fellowship we have in St. John's. That is the way that this church can outlive us. When we are no more, we can still have St. John's in this place. There are so many fish in the deep sea, but God has given a strong enough net in the word of Christ and a big enough boat in our Christian congregation to accommodate all who believe. So let us go and tell the story of our risen Christ. Let us go and share the story of our hope, our eternal hope in Christ. Let us go and speak to the world that is hurting. The world is hurting. If you're listening to this last week with the United Nations Assembly, the different rhetorics from different heads of states, from Northern Korea, from America, from different places, the world we live in is hurting. And they need to hear the love, the message of God's love. So let us go and speak of God's love. Amen.